welcome you back to another edition of Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri, and we're coming to you on a very special fight week. Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia is finally here. We're going to play a little fact or fiction on this episode. We're also going to break down what we saw this past weekend. Top-ranked Jared Anderson got a win that was not really a fun fight. F.A. Ajagua was in action. Abdullah Mason. Boots Ennis is in the news. What else is going on? Inoue, your colleague, Sean Porter, started a whole national debate or international debate about Naoya Inoue. Maybe we'll touch on that if there's enough time. Anyway, Chris, how are you?
I'm great. Fights weren't great this weekend, but I am great, and that's all that matters in my mind.
Listen, the fights aren't always going to be great, but yeah. It's up to us to be great as humans. And that's my motivational.
I like that
message for everyone out there.
We're just gonna be great humans.
You got to be great humans, despite the fights. If the fights are good or not, we're gonna get duds, especially in the heavyweight division. And Top Rank, I feel like, is cursed. We'll get into that in a little bit. But this episode is brought to you by PPV.com. PPV.com is the premier home for pay-per-view events this weekend. Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. Order it on PPV.com. Join us in the live interactive chat. Be me, Chris Algieri, Lance Pugmire, Jim Lampley, chatting up with you. There's no other service that provides that type of intimate feeling where you can ask Chris Algieri how he feels, what he's thinking, what he's going to eat after it, where he's going after it in New York City. On top of that, no subscriptions. We ain't never going to ask you to long-term sign up. Go fight to fight. Do whatever you want. That's the beauty of PPV.com. Stream it to your phone, tablet, big screen TV, of course. You're going to have some fight parties this weekend. You're going to figure out who's going to win the fight. PPV.com is your home, and it is a proud sponsor of Inside Boxing Live. The game I want to play today with you, Christopher, is Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, fact or fiction. We're going to throw some prompts out there, and we're going to debate, because there's a lot of debate around this fight, from what's going to happen. Is it going to happen? To who's going to win? We know who's going to win. Without further ado, let's just get into it. Why don't we? Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, fact or fiction. I will start it off. This is the biggest question to me, or the biggest topic. Will Ryan Garcia make it to fight night? Fact or fiction?
I think we are there. I think we're within the radius that the fight's actually going to happen. Although anything can happen. I'll say it. I've been saying it. I'm gonna think he's gonna have a lot of trouble making that weight. He looks really big, even in the videos that are coming out now. Definitely, he's getting leaner for sure. But he's a big guy. I know what it takes to make 140. And I don't know, man. I would not be surprised if he struggles with the weight. But I do believe the fight's gonna happen. We are here. We are going to be there, you and I, Dan.
That's
we
right.
Are going to we'll be up there. In Brooklyn. We will be there. So the fight better happen, because I got to change my travel plans otherwise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I think we're past the danger zone of this fight actually not occurring. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of drama fight week.
But bro, have you seen like his post? Like the last 48 hours, it's gone back to.
I have not. I've been avoiding watching Ryan's manic posts and just
yes,
trying to focus on his fighting.
It's back to manic. It's back to the coming after my kids. He's posting pictures of his kids. He's saying they were kidnapped. He posted a screenshot that his mom was in a car accident.
His kids are kidnapped. He's saying
they were trying to. He said they were coming after me. They want my kids. They want this. You know, he's talking about showing DMs with Kylie Jenner, tweeting about random women, like 10, 15 an hour clip, which was what was happening in the original blow up, where it got people thinking like, oh, wait a second. Like after that L.A. press conference, it was when the manic tweets started happening in the first place, where we're like, this isn't just like a crazy behavior at a press conference. Now, you know, we're seeing crazy tweets. We're seeing strange behavior. That I feel like we're back to that. Like as of right now, as we record this on Sunday evening, like he's ripping off some weird tweets, and it's kind of crazy because we are less than a week away from the fight.
Well, that really sucks. I was just watching the 40 days on DAZN, and it actually got me excited for the fight. They were showing, you know, Ryan actually training, Devin being Devin as always, talking about a little bit about their past, But in terms of, you know, what Ryan was, what they're putting out there showing Ryan, you know, he was training. He looked good. He looked like he's getting in shape. And, you know, he looked focused on that, but obviously that's what they're trying to do.
That was so taped now, like a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing. But I go back to, you know, what I said about that original press conference when all the weird tweets started happening, all that erratic behavior. I think it's just the pressure. I think as this fight gets closer, he's starting to feel the walls closing in, and then he starts to act the way he acts. And I think he felt that way when he first saw Devin, at the press conference, and he realized, oh, this is real. Well, guess what? It's fight week. This is real. Yes. The fight is going to happen. And now the manic tweets start happening again. So if anything, I mean, more and more it points to the fact that the pressure is getting to him, and it shows weakness.
Right. You're tweeting, like, your mind at this point inside of 10 days, your mind's got to be fully on the job at hand.
Locked.
You're a huge underdog. In. You're facing a massive, massive talent in Devin Haney. You can't be tweeting.
Listen, you're also fighting for a world title, man. That's a big deal.
I feel like that's not even part of the discussion of this fight.
Right. It's never come up, especially on Ryan's side, the fact that there's a world title on the line, the fact that he's never been a world champion. It's a new weight class. He's fighting at an elite level at 140, which he's never done. And he's fighting for a world title. This is a 12 round world championship fight against a very, very good champion.
Yeah. So that's the latest in terms of, what Ryan is tweeting and stuff. You can, you know, look into it any which way you want. Once the fight is over, it's not going to be the same type of attention on those tweets. Interested to see how the perception is after the fight, especially if he loses. What happens after that will be very telling. But yes, I agree with you. Fact, I think he will make it to fight night. We're this close. Just put him in bubble wrap and get him to Barclays on Saturday night.
That seems like that's been the plan for Team Ryan Garcia the whole time.
All right, second one here. I will answer this one. Ryan Garcia will make weight. I know where you're going with this because you just kind of tipped your hand on your last explanation. For the sake of being optimistic, Dan, I will say yes, Ryan Garcia will make weight. It will be a very big struggle, but I think that he wants to somehow prove everyone that I'm not crazy. He wants to somehow prove to everyone that I am taking this serious. I can take on the entire Illuminati, wherever he's going after, and also train and also be on top of my game and also make weight. I think he has that inside of him. I'm just going to go take a shot in the dark here and say that he makes 140 pounds on Friday outside the Barclays Center.
Yeah, I Dan, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think he's going to make it, but I think he's going to struggle, and he's going to struggle mightily, because a lot of times when it comes down to making weight, it's all about what you did during camp. And I don't know if he has been as disciplined as necessary to get to the weight. And he, like I keep saying, and he looks big. I'm looking at him and I'm like, I know he's a big guy. And just the way that he looks, knowing how 140 pounders look when they're making weight, especially guys who are 5'10", what it takes to be there. I can see it being a struggle, but he is a young man and he's got a lot riding on this. I don't think he's going to come in, you know, 10 pounds over and crazy like that. He may tip the scales a little bit and then come back and make it, but I do believe he's going to struggle. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he's going to actually ultimately make weight.
Will the towel come out? Will the tent come out to cover up his privates?
Very possible, which would be only a good thing for him. I mean, it's going to get more attention, more eyes. And, you know, Oscar De La Hoya, that was their move all the time with Oscar.
Yeah, the girls scream.
Yeah, everyone freaks out. Someone would try and pull the towel down from the underneath.
You know, I remember that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the similarities between the Golden Boy, the original Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, and Ryan Garcia are obviously there. And I'm sure they're trying to play that playbook as much as possible, but they're different animals. That is for sure.
I wouldn't be shocked if I think anyone would be shocked if he comes in at 140. If we hear Ryan Garcia can't make weight, this fight is now contracted at 143.5 pounds.
And only Ryan, the title's on the line for Haney, yeah.
And they've negotiated. Ryan's given up some of his purse. That would be not shocking at all.
Not at all.
And still get the fight, because I don't think he has any real motivation to be a world champion. I mean, he's never really said it outwardly. I mean, look at Devin Haney. That's his. He's already unified at 135. He's already talking about becoming undisputed at 140. He's going after like traditional legacy, where I don't exactly know what Ryan Garcia is going after. Next thing up here, Ryan Garcia will see the final bell. Fact or fiction, Chris?
Fiction. I think he gets stopped in the mid rounds.
Ooh.
mid to late rounds.
Stop it. You're not supposed to give your prediction, Chris. We do that Friday.
Just did. Just did.
But you did, and we don't start over.
I'll repeat it on Friday.
The thing about Inside Boxing Live is it should be called Inside Boxing Live to Tape, which is a TV term. Like, we don't start over here. We don't stop. No. We don't edit. Nope. We just go. So,
One take. Garcia, and guys, also, when we do our breakdowns, they're pretty close to one take, too. We really, when we do our in-the-ring stuff, like, we're
about to post it right now, as a matter
of
fact.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we're pretty spot
once
on.
Once I finish this. Yeah.
Nice.
Once I finish this.
People love
this,
that stuff.
Once I finish this episode or recording where I'm uploading the Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney in-ring breakdown, so be on the lookout for that on our YouTube page. Fact or fiction, Ryan Garcia will see the final bell. I will say he will see the final bell. I will say fact. I say he does get knocked down. I say that he does have some moments. I say he gets knocked down, not by like a powerful shot, but more like how Progre was knocked down. Like Haney was in such a good position, gets caught. Ryan has not great footwork, kind of like Progre, bad footwork. Gets caught, tripped up, falls over, standing eight. I don't think he'll be hurt at any point. I don't think he makes the final bell. All right, on to the next. Let's get into Devin Haney. So I'm talking a lot about Ryan Garcia, but that's the way this promotion has gone. Devin Haney will engage in a firefight at some point. He'll deviate from his game plan. Fact or fiction?
Fiction. I don't think he needs to. I don't think the game plan is going to be dependent on him making this a fight, because I think that Haney is very smart. I think they have a good game plan. And I think that they are aware how dangerous Ryan is. And I'm going to say that time and time again. Ryan is very, very dangerous. We saw that in the Tank fight. Tank realized how dangerous he was. Tank prepared for a dangerous guy. And then he got in the ring in the first round, was like, yep, this guy's dangerous. I'm going to be smart. And I think if Tank was willing to be a boxer that night and to try and outthink Ryan, which he ultimately did, I think Devin, who that's his bread and butter, will surely stick to the script. Do I think that he will eventually be at the point where he's broken down the offense of Ryan and he'll be able to step in and put more leather on him? Sure. But I do not think he's going to do that at any point where Ryan is still dangerous and willing to trade.
I'll go fiction as well. I think Ryan is going to try to goad him into a firefight. That's what he does. He did it with Tank, which ended up being his demise. He's done it in almost every fight he's in, where he walks forward, he comes forward, he throws big shots, he leaves himself open, gets countered, did it against Luke Campbell.
Well, the recent iteration of Ryan, because he used to be a counterpuncher. But yeah.
Right, but there are times where he gets aggressive, where he deviates from his game plan, talking about game plans, or does a shoulder roll out of nowhere. Like, he'll go rogue. But lately, he has shown some wild aggression in there, which he did in like the second round against Tank, when he ultimately got dropped, had a little bit of success.
Both times he got dropped, he was being super aggressive.
Right. So I think that he wants to get Haney into a firefight. And I think Haney, like you said, is just way too smart, way too disciplined. The number one attribute of Devin Haney is discipline. So if he made it this far and he got through all of the antics that Ryan Garcia has put him through over the last couple months of this buildup, and he finally gets into the ring, he knows what's coming. I think everyone knows that Ryan's going to go for the knockout and he's going to be aggressive. So if Haney was to get try to be a macho man out of nowhere and stand in the center and trade, now, I don't think it's a good idea, number one, because I think Ryan hits really hard and that's what Ryan wants. But I just don't think Haney will do that. I think he's totally fine with boxing. I think he's totally fine if there were some boo birds. I think he's totally fine with people afterwards saying, yeah, he got the win, but it wasn't the most exciting fight. He don't care. He gets his hand raised. He just made a bag and he's on to the next one. So yeah, I'm going fiction there. I'd be shocked if he stands in the center of the ring. Ryan Garcia will land over 40 total punches. Fact or fiction? I'll start this one. I'm going to say fiction. I'm going to say he lands underneath 40 punches, because it goes into the last topic. If Devin Haney sticks to his game plan and boxes and moves, he's very hard to hit. If Devin Haney says, you know what, I'm standing in the middle of the ring, yeah, Ryan's going to land over 40. But 40 is the number that De Los Santos was held to in that Shakur fight. 40 was the number that Regis Progre was held to in that Zaria fight. And I think pretty damn close to that number against Progre. Like, that's like a number that that's a number that Devin Haney is like flirting with now, keeping his opponents to, which is just absurd. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I agree, because I think if Ryan is able to land more than 40 punches, then he might win the fight. Because, listen,
that's such a low bar.
I keep reiterating he is a very dangerous guy, and he's extremely, extremely powerful, and he's a good puncher, and he's very, very explosive. If he gets any momentum, he can win the fight. And that's a very real statement. I just don't think he will. I think Haney is smart enough, elusive enough. And he's just, he's in the groove right now. Haney is looking better and better, and he's finding himself, and he's getting more physically mature. And I think he's also getting more mentally mature in terms of dealing with 12 round fights. I think he's going to stay focused. I've mentioned time and time again how disciplined he is, and I think that's his best asset. So I see him staying disciplined in this fight. Again, I think he's also going to realize that Ryan is that guy. Ryan is that dangerous guy who can really punch. Listen, you don't have to get hit by a guy to know he can punch. I've been in fights where a left hook whizzed by in front of my face, and I was like, nope, don't want to get hit with that tonight. I'm not going to get hit with that tonight. And I believe Haney's going to have that same realization pretty early on, if he doesn't already know that this guy is a dangerous puncher.
Yeah, I mean, 40 punches, I mean, we're going to be in for a snoozer. Unless Haney can stop him late and give the fans some blood and give some fans some red meat.
Well, that's also another reason why I don't think he's going to get over 40, because I don't think the fight's going to last to the point where he's going to be able to land.
That's a good point, because 40 is like three a round. I mean, it's a little over three a round if it goes the distance. That's abysmal total of punches. All right, talking about numbers, we'll stick here. Fight will do over 250 pay-per-view buys. Fact or fiction? You can take this one.
Fact. I think so. I think people are going to turn out. I think the gate's going to struggle, but I think the views, the pay-per-view buys are going to be good. I think it's going to be solid. This is a big fight. There's a lot going on, to market this thing. Listen, DAZN just did a 3-part series of 40 days leading up to it. That's a big deal. And Ryan's Ryan, man. I mean, the kid does numbers. Every time we talk about him, you know, people tune in. And that's just across the board. I don't think he has been tarnished enough to the fact that people are not interested anymore. He's still very, very interesting, especially with all this stuff going on, all the weird tweets and whatnot, and all the attention around him. So I do believe, pay-per-view wise, this is going to do well.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a very big last minute rush, both at the gate. New York is a last-minute town, man. People are looking for something to do on a Saturday night. They'll get some type of advertisement. The prices are going to drop, and I think there's going to be a nice crowd in there. I don't think it will sell out, but I think it's going to exceed some of what we've been seeing on social media, where these people post stuff showing the seat map, and it's a lot of blue, because the original prices were crazy for the tickets. Prices are beginning to drop. They're going to drop even more to where they should be, in my opinion. And New York City is a great fight town. We haven't had a big fight at Barclays in so long, getting them almost every other month. And there's a big reason for that. You know, one of the guys that was running the Barclays Center left, Brett Yarmark, who was a huge boxing fan.
Brett was awesome. Really great to work with. I worked with him a bunch.
Awesome guy. And he left, and then boxing left Barclays. And it sucked because they were averaging 14,000, 15,000 on some of those PBC shows with, you know, Danny Garcia was bringing big crowds. Some huge fight nights there. Keith Thurman was fighting there. Yep.
I was the main event there three or four times, and I always sold really well in New York.
Look at bro. That's fucking sick.
Yeah, we had really good gates when I fought at Barclays.
Sometimes I forget, man, who you are.
I was a main event in Barclays three times.
Right? I honestly, like, I say, hey, Chris Algieri, when I talk to my friends that don't know boxing, I'm like, yo, he fought Manny Pacquiao. And that's like, shit. Every single friend, whether they follow the sport or not, are like, damn, that's like the
Manny Pacquiao.
But if you've cut it down even more, it's like you were the headline at Barclays numerous times. Like, you get that gate money, right?
I mean, listen, a lot of the money I made was related to my popularity. That's why I always fought in New York. I was like, why don't you fight anywhere else? How come you don't fight in Vegas? I'm like, I sell tickets. The promoters want me to fight here. Dude, when I fought at Barclays, when I won my world title against Ruslan Baranikov at Barclays, I sold $60,000 in tickets from my hand. Sick. That's not people coming to the, that's me bringing money in that's and being like, hey, I need more tickets. Need more yeah, I was running.
That was
I was
in,
literally.
That was in your jeans.
Yeah, I was running tickets back then.
That's what I meant. Like, it was in your genes. Like, when you were fighting in Huntington at, what's the name of the place?
Paramount Theater.
Paramount, you have to sell tickets in order to get on these cards. Yes. Like, that's a big part of the sport that not a lot of fans, I think.
That's how grassroots guys get around. Yes. Yeah. We
you
sell
have
tickets.
Sell a certain amount of tickets.
Yes. You got to pay for yourself, your opponent. You got to pay for your purse. You got to pay for everything, basically, essentially. You're making the money to pay for your own fights.
That Khan one was probably huge because he had such a big following.
Huge.
British
huge.
And Muslim.
A lot of movie stars there too. That was a star-studied event.
I'm so pissed, man. I was on the road I missed that one. I was on the road working at Bleacher Report.
It was a great fight. In my career, I hate the fact that I lost, obviously, and I actually don't think I lost. But that's one of my favorite fights to go back and watch, just as a fan. Like, I'm like, that's just a fun fight to watch.
I think fans, when they think of you, they go to Pacquiao and then they go to Provodnikov.
Yeah.
But then they kind of don't think about the Khan fight and who Khan was at that time. He's still
superstar.
A pretty big name. Right. Superstar. Still a big name. Still had his skills and his speed. It's awesome. I'll have to go back and watch that one. So I think it's a last minute town. I think it will do over 250K pay-per-views. I think it's going to be once the weigh-in happens, and as long as he makes the weight, as long as it looks like the fight's happening, that's when you know it. Okay, yeah, it's Friday night. I don't have to buy the pay-per-view until Saturday on PPV.com. I don't have to buy my tickets till Saturday. I can do that all on Saturday. So I do think it's going to start ramping up, and I do think it does over 250K, and that's good for everyone involved. And watch it on PPV.com, everybody. All right, last one here. Winner will fight another 140-pound champion next. I'll take this one, okay? I'll take this one. Fiction. If Devin Haney wins, I don't see him fighting Pitbull. I don't see him fighting Matias. I don't see him fighting Teofimo. I see him maybe taking a voluntary defense. But I do ultimately see him fighting one of those guys down the road. Probably Matias first, considering he's with Matchroom. And if you've watched our show or followed us, you know that we think that Matias is beatable. So fiction. I don't think Haney unifies next. Or Ryan.
I don't want to, but I'm gonna agree with you, Dan. I think either way, Ryan wins. If Ryan wins, I don't see him going after any of those other guys we mentioned already that doesn't care so much about the belts or being a champion. Honestly, he wins. We might not see him for a while. Honestly,
I had another one. If Ryan Garcia loses, will we see him again in the next 12 months? And I don't think so.
I don't know. If he wins, I don't think we're going to see him. He's so erratic, and I don't know if he has that trajectory to be like, all right, I'm a champion now. I'm going to go get other championships. I don't see that in him. Nothing has told me that he would make those kind of moves. And Devin, I don't think Devin's is long for 140. I know he recently came and said, I'm going to be undisputed. I'll do that. I don't know if he's going to do that. I think he's going to go chase a bag at 47. So I would be surprised if the next fight for either man, if they were to win, was to unify with one of the other champions. But it is still a very fun division. A lot of fun fights. You know, the addition of Pitbull is, I'm happy about it. I didn't see him as being a world champion, especially at 140. I don't think, you know, he obviously beat the most undeserving guy there is in terms of being a world champion. 140 is a tough division, but Pitbull, he's fun, man, and he's impressive. A Pitbull Matias fight makes a ton of sense for a lot of reasons. I think we'll probably see that before we see the winner of this fight fighting any of those guys. And Tio is just such a unique figure. He moves
He's not fighting Claggett.
He's not?
He tweeted, I have no opponent. I'm still preparing for anyone.
Oh.
And last night on the Top Rank show, it didn't say like his opponent. It just said Teofimo's returning.
That's not surprising to me at all, because I would imagine the backlash for the Claggett fight was pretty harsh.
It was pretty harsh. And also, like, it might not be June 29th because Conor McGregor just made it official finally.
Right, fighting Chandler June 29th. That was surprising. I didn't think that fight was ever going to happen. I still don't know if that fight's going to happen. That might be worse off than Haney Garcia. I still don't think that's going to happen. I will not believe that fight is happening until they're both in the cage.
And that's a fight that I will watch. Like, I'm not an MMA guy by any means. I didn't even watch 300 last night. I followed along. But
yeah,
like, McGregor is the one name out there.
Well, Chandler's my guy, man. I've known Chandler from Vegas for
like the fight
10 plus years.
I like the fight a lot. I just think that McGregor is the one guy out there that can move people off of dates, like that could move a Top Rank from not even doing a June 29th. He still has that type of clout. I know he hasn't won in years.
Honestly, he's kind of similar to Ryan. He is a polarizing figure. He has his own orbit, just like Ryan does. And their crossover appeal is super high. And yeah. Also they're super talented. Like they're very, very, you know, very, very good. I don't know how much Connor really has left. But you know, Chandler's always in fun fights and, it's definitely a worthy fight to watch and to tune into, even for us boxing fans.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on 140. There's a lot of really good champions. It's the hottest division. Haney comes out of this fight on top. He's told us media people, he's told people that he wants to now become a guy at 140.
Yeah.
There was a time maybe last year or before the Prograde fight or just after the Prograde fight, they were already talking about 147. Like, I do think he will fight at 147 one day.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe I believe he'll be a world champion at 147, actually.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about a guy at 147 that just signed a Matchroom in just a second. That might dictate what Haney does. He might figure, you know, maybe do I want to fight Boots? Do I want to fight who's with Matchroom now? And Haney is aligned with Matchroom too, kind of. Like, he has like this relationship with Eddie Hearn, who will be at the fight on Saturday night. I want to be optimistic too. I want to believe that the next fight will be unification, but just knowing boxing, like, I don't see it. If it does happen, it's probably Haney Matias. But I mean, this is now just like one after the next for Haney in terms of big fights. And as we've been programmed as fans, you don't always get that. We get a voluntary defense. We get something we don't exactly, a Sandor Martin, which would be tricky for Haney, but you know, it's one of his
statistically very, that's a tough fight. Yeah.
One of his mandatories. All right, that is our Haney Garcia coverage, at least for this episode. Go to Inside Boxing Live YouTube. Watch our in-ring breakdown. We'll have so much more for you this week. This is just the beginning. We're giving away a ton of pay-per-views. Like, PPV.com told us they want to give away more. That's the type of people we're dealing with. Those are our partners, Chris. They said 5 doesn't seem enough. Let's give away even more pay-per-views. So we got that going on.
I mean, listen, they're right. Give away more. Let's go. Let's get people going. I mean, let's get people excited. Giveaways are important. Getting fans involved. And PPV they love to give back.
They're very
to fans.
Generous. They are very, very, very generous. They treat the media well. When we're out in Vegas, we went to Jerry Seinfeld, like front row, and we had.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. A lot of these fun. I'm not even a huge Jerry fan. Sorry. Don't get at me in the comments.
Well,
I'm not
a
huge Jerry fan.
Chris, you did fall asleep during during his.
I mean, yeah. Again, I'm not a big Jerry guy. It's not. But
that was the funniest part of the night because he's not that funny anymore. Me turning over and seeing Chris take a quick little cat nap. So PPV.com and check it out. We'll be there. We'll be on the ground. Friday, we're talking about doing a live show, which I think is going to be super fun from the weigh-in. Thursday, we'll have all sorts of our mini mic stuff, all the stuff I do, getting the fighters and talking to all them. And then Saturday night, we'll be in the arena on the live chat. So you're going to want to, if you're ordering the fight, do it with PPV.com and join us in the live chat. All right, on to some other headlines real quick. Boots Ennis kind of, you know, surprised us.
Swept in.
swept in. Signs with Matchroom Boxing. For a while, he was on the shelf. We thought maybe he'd reemerge with PBC. There's some bigger fights for him at PBC. Not so much at Matchroom at 147. I was mildly shocked by this. There isn't an exact name at Matchroom at 147. If maybe Conor Benn, which I don't think is the case. It looks like he's going to be fighting Cody Crawley sometime in the summer. But what it means is Jerron Boots Ennis has a promoter. He has a guy in Eddie Hearn who is out there. We're going to hear a lot about Boots, and he's going to be very active. That's the most important thing. We'll figure out who he's going to fight next, but Boots Ennis is about to be very active and is going to have a very big push by Eddie Hearn.
Yeah, to your point, exactly. I mean, with the Matchroom machine, they're going to be able to push him. They're going to be putting out tons of content. He's going to be in your face. But looking ahead, this is a very curious move. In terms of who we can fight next. Like you said, like you mentioned the names that they have at 147. There's not a ton that Matchroom has. But Eddie is willing to work with other promoters to make those fights happen, but that becomes increasingly difficult when you got a guy as dangerous as Boots. The Ben fight, no shot. That does not happen.
Really?
Eddie is not looking to cash out on Ben in that type of fight.
He is looking to cash him out.
Looking to cash him out, but not that kind of fight. That's not a huge money fight. They're looking to have him fight Manny Pacquiao or Conor McGregor or, you know, Gervonta Davis. Like, they're looking for
that's
these.
Not realistic, though.
No, but that's all they ever talk about. He doesn't want to fight any of the guys that are in the weight class that are going to be dangerous. And Boots is the most dangerous guy in the weight class. And I think there's a lot of really good guys at 147 that both of them could be fighting. Ben could be fighting, that Boots could be fighting. It's just, I'm curious to see if Eddie's able to make those fights happen. I really wonder what was promised to Boots to get him to make that signature, to make him to make that move. There had to be a huge, huge bag somewhere down the line.
That's the first thing I thought of was bag.
No. I'm talking about the bag down the line. I'm not talking about signing bonus. Signing bonuses are generally bullshit. They're not that much money, guys. Like fighters fight for a lot of money, and you know, $250,000, $300,000. Yeah, that's cool. So that's good money. The bag is the million, $2 million, $3 million fight. That's the bag I'm talking about. I'm wondering what the promise for Boots was going to be down the line in terms of making that big bag, the real bag.
I think 147 is such a weird division right now. So
right now it is,
Crawford fight, that could be it. The Crawford fight, but not at 147. I think they could tell Boots, listen, man, I know you have your sights set at 147. You could be the successor to this previous generation that was the Thurmans, Garcia, Bud, Spence. That era is over.
Porter.
That era is in the past. Yeah, you could be the successor there, but there's nothing there, man. There's no big names for you, Boots Duran, right now at 147. Okay, so go to 147, win another belt, okay? But the big fights for you are going to happen at 154. Virgil Ortiz is under the DAZN banner. He fights with Golden Boy. Golden Boy and Matchroom have
not big enough
fights
yet.
Before. Not big enough yet, but it could happen down the road. Terrence Crawford versus Jerron Ennis at 154 in Saudi Arabia. It could happen
Crawford's
down the road.
Crawford's team they've been outwardly not interested.
Okay, but I think Crawford is going to have a come to God moment. And that right there is a statement that is.
But why would you fight Jerron at 54 if there's not a title involved, when there's guys in the division that have titles that he can make those fights happen? Mondrumov, that fight can happen. Fundora, when he comes back in the fall.
I think those will ultimately happen before a Boots-Crawford fight. But okay. I think there is some grassroots interest in a Boots-Crawford fight.
But why?
It's
so
not
again,
big enough now. It's not
Crawford
big enough now.
Wins the title. Crawford gets one of those. He gets Mondrumov, and he wins. And now he's a champion at 154. Why would he give Boots a chance at 54?
I know. You're right. I have no answer for that. I have no retort for that, because Boots is a son of a bitch. Crawford is a son of a bitch. He and I mean that in the most endearing way.
And Jerron's a son of a bitch in terms of his ability.
I get it. So maybe 154, maybe a Virgil fight. They can build towards that. It's fun. I mean, it's not big right now. Virgil has he's in a position to fight for a title soon. Maybe some other names emerge at 147. Maybe Devin Haney. Going up from 140 to 147, Devin Haney versus Boots Ennis. That's an intriguing fight. That's a fun fight. It's a fight that I haven't really put too much thought in, but the more I think about it, could be make sense on the money side of things. Mm-hmm. Could make sense inside of the ring. I just want to see Boots fight. That's the main thing. And that's what I think of when I saw this deal. My initial thought was, great. Okay, Haney, great. Hearn is going to push the hell out of this guy. He's going to talk about him every interview he gets. God does so many interviews, Hearn. And he's going to be active. Like, I'm hearing about a homecoming fight for Boots, June or July against Cody Crawley in Philly. That's fucking awesome. You know, mm-hmm. Let's get this guy out there, man. I'm worried about the next.
And Crowley's a deserving guy. He's earned his shot. He's been around. He's been fighting really tough guys. He's been doing really well, getting better and better. Does he beat Boots? No, but he's going to be very deserving of that shot.
But the main point is he's in the ring. He's a homecoming fight. It's going to Matchroom USA is flush with cash, and they're going to be able to put on a good event, and they're going to get him back in there hopefully in December. It's a good thing. We'll figure out who he's going to fight down the line. That's Eddie Hearn's job. But there are some names out there, 140 pounders moving up to 147, or Boots ultimately going to 154. Where it seems like that's one of the hotter divisions right now inside of the sport. Quickly, before we say goodbye, the top-ranked card, man, that was a weird one. Jared Anderson gets the win, unanimous decision. Riyad Mehri, what the hell, bro? I don't want to see you ever again. He threw, I have the stat here from CompuBox. Riyad Mehri threw the third fewest punches in a 10-round fight in CompuBox's 39-year history. That was 144 punches. Anderson kind of went through the motions there, kind of hard to fight with a guy that doesn't want to engage. Top Rank is just like cursed right now with their main events. They've had, this is now De Los Santos versus Shakur. Teofimo versus
Jermaine Ortiz.
And now this fight last night, three really bad main events, and they have some of the best matchmakers. Did they think that Mary was going to throw punches? Did they think he was? And then he ultimately shelled up. It was just not a great TV watch.
No, I think they thought the same thing that I thought, that Anderson was going to run through him, and he did not. Dude, 144 punches in a whole fight. I have thrown close to that in a single round. Literally.
Yes, you have.
Literally.
Find those numbers too.
That's crazy.
It's really bad. It's really bad.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a high expectation for him anyway, but that's even lower. That's below the bar. Not good for Anderson, man. I mean, he needed a statement performance, and it didn't happen, especially with all the out of the ring stuff, being, you know, the next American dream heavyweight. Tough look for him. Tough look for Top Rank. Not a great showing, not a fun card. And it sucks because it was right against UFC 300 and the fights were amazing. And I saw so many people commenting like, oh man, this is why MMA is better. It's like, well, no, this was a very small card. This was not a big card at all. It wasn't supposed to be some highlight show card. It was just, you know, it was a fight. And then obviously UFC 300 is a staple moment in the history of UFC. And they put big money out there and got big names. So you really can't compare the two. But yeah, not a great look for Top Rank last night.
Not a good look for Top Rank. Not a good look for Jared Anderson. Like, I couldn't agree with you more. Needed some type of win, big win statement. Yeah, he got the win. But it's not like we're sitting here having a conversation about, dude, did you see that second round knockout Jared Anderson had? Like, this guy might be ready.
I was telling people to tune in too. I made a fool of myself.
Oh, don't you hate when that happens?
I'm at the gym and I'm telling guys, I'm like, yo, you got to watch this kid. Jared Anderson fights tonight. He's the truth. And then it's just like, ugh, dud.
Right. Like, this is, you guys want to see a heavy, you guys been asking me for heavyweights, right? Oh, I got one for you. He's American. He's
super fun, athletic, knocks everybody out. And then that fight. Ugh.
Yeah, that was bad. Co-main event was actually fun. Guido Vianello.
Excellent fight.
F.A. Jagba. I mean, fun. At moments, it looked like we're going to get like a knockout, drag-out brawl. We had that. Had some moments where they box. F.A. Jagba gets the win. It was almost like a pink slip fight. They're actually calling that on the air. They mentioned that on the air. I hope Vianello doesn't get cut because I thought he put up a pretty good performance. I don't know the financials of his deal. But for Jagba, he did just enough, in my opinion, to eke out the win. It was a very close fight. It was a fun fight. Like, that to me was like, damn, this is like fun heavyweight fighting.
Yeah, Guido has been underperforming for a number of years now.
He's limited. He's just a limited fighter.
Well, he's, you know, he comes from a tennis background. He's a big guy, athletic, Italian, good looking. Like, he's got all that. He's definitely a big, good, heavy, athletic guy for sure. And he showed that last night. I was actually impressed. It was one of the best performances I think he's ever had in his entire career.
Yeah, I agree.
And Ajagba, he's another one, man. He's either lights out or he's super underwhelming. He looks the part. He's shown improved jabbing lately. And obviously, he has that big right hand, which we did not see last night. But yeah, it's just it's two guys who are pretty much in the same boat in terms of what they can do and what they actually ultimately do. And it's underwhelming for both.
It was the highlight of the card for me.
Yeah, it's a good fight, though.
Abdullah Mason.
Stud.
Good God, man.
Total stud.
Is he 20? You know me with ages. I'm bad. Is he 18 or 19 or 20?
He looks 5 years older every time I see him. And the maturity in that young man. I mean, you see the muscles on his back, and he's just really growing into his own. And the confidence is there. The power is there. He is a tremendous talent.
Yeah, the first round knockdown was like a lightning quick left down the middle that you just can't teach, that you just see, wow, that's special. And then he ended the fight with like this mature, composed, but super ferocious power punches, just digging in. And just, but it wasn't like sloppy. It wasn't like over the top. It looked so calculated. Mm-hmm. And he was always in control. And he's unloading on this guy. And I'm like, damn, like even that, when he just went for the kill, was really impressive. Awesome, awesome talent. This guy right here is the future. This is someone who we should all be excited about.
Yes. So the only thing I was thinking about when I was watching that finish, I was like, cold-blooded. Cold-blooded. That kid is...
I saw some comps to Spence.
Yeah. I could absolutely say, especially, you know, physique and body wise and the way, you know, he's long, he's wide. He throws a lot of combinations, lets his hands go. He takes you apart, in a very methodical way, emotionless, just like Spence always was. So yeah, that's a good call, Dan.
Yeah. I didn't come up with it. I saw it on Twitter. I'm man enough.
Good read, Dan. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so him, Carmel Motan, who's like 18, I think they're on a, like, you could build up that fight now into something down the line. Some of the other names, yeah. But I'm talking about like really young. But he's almost like, people are asking for a step up. They're like tweeting at me like, oh, this looks good, but let's step this guy up. Like, yeah, okay.
Slow your roll. We got time. It's funny because, you know, we live in an era now where we get to see so many fights, and it's a good thing. But you mm-hmm. see these guys that are in their developmental stages, and there's a lot more concern about them stepping up much quicker. And it's like, that's not how this sport has ever really been done. So, but yeah, and the guys like him who are coming up, where you see all of their fights, their entire career is on TV or is able to be viewed. It's a different change. It's definitely a change to the game.
That's a good point. It's a gift and a curse, because yes, we're understanding who an Abdullah Mason is, where 10 years ago, even, you know, he's fighting first fight of the night. He's not fighting on this card. HBO yeah. days, HBO only showed co-main and main.
They only showed world-class fighters. I remember coming out and being like, listen, you don't make it on TV until you're world-class. So, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to bide my time. I'll get there. But, you know, it takes a lot to get there. It's not like that anymore. You're seeing much yeah. lower-level guys fighting.
It's a good thing and a bad thing, because you opens yourself up to some very mediocre boxing.
Yes.
Week after week. If you're watching like a card and you're like, all right, this shouldn't even be on TV, like first fight of the night or something like that. So it's a gift and a curse. I ultimately think it's a net positive that fight fans are getting fights around the globe on their phones.
I agree.
Cards.
More fights, the better.
Positive.
Listen, I used to watch Tough Man contests. I enjoyed them as much as anybody. You know, I can watch a bad fight here and there. It's boxing. I like watching boxing, no matter what it is. As long as they are sandwiching the cards with some good fights, then you know, we're good.
All right, guys. The in-ring breakdown is now live on our YouTube page, Inside Boxing Live. Subscribe to the YouTube page if you have not. I never asked anyone to do that, but please go out and do that. Really a nice catalog, and we have a lot more coming your way. Chris, the next time I see you will be in Brooklyn, New York. Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, Fight Week is upon us. We're going to hit that city. It's our city, baby.
Yeah, I'm psyched. This fight, it kind of crept up because like we were all kind of wondering if this was actually going to happen, and it's happening, and now we're here, and I'm as excited as ever, which is awesome.
Ooh, getting an excited Chris Algieri.
I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to coming back to, you know, big fight at the Barclays Center.
York. All right, everybody, keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. See you in Brooklyn.